I'm going to share today an encounter I had, but I'm going to have to lay a foundation for this. I had a really powerful encounter this morning, and I actually saw something pertaining to the future of the church this morning, and it's actually pretty awesome. You can turn your Bibles to Revelations 18, but I believe embedded in Scripture, we already know this part, God has already embedded the mystery of the last days in His Word. He's embedded it all. He's already foretold everything that's going to happen. We know this part like we understand 7-year tribulation, but He also has embedded what's going to happen before that in His Word, as we understand now the understanding of the crown, the understanding of the last days. I saw something this morning, and I want to share it with you, but I'm going to lay a foundation. I saw what one of the ways God is going to deal with what's happening in the earth today. People need to wake up. There is great evil determined against this generation. A communistic, totalitarian, it has been definitely determined. You can see this in a multitude of ways. You saw it. Believe it or not, this COVID thing manufactured run. I mean, I'm not a conspiratorialist. You can just see, even Pfizer, the big company that was pushing the vaccines, they just came out and admitted they never even tested it, whether it was effective or not. And so when everyone was pushing vaccines, you see what they're pushing on children right now. They're pushing things that are just ungodly through the books. Down to 3 or 4 years old, now this big thing now is, without even parental consent, kids in kindergarten, but in California, they can actually go have a permanent sex change without parental permission. They can be talked into it, or goaded into it, or see someone on TikTok, and they can go take pills that permanently destroy their reproduction. Or they can go and get a surgery right now. They're paying now very good money to doctors to perform these surgeries. Now you see what's being pushed on this generation, from banking to political realm to forced vaccinations. You already saw the COVID run. The next thing, believe it or not, is food. People don't understand what's going on here, but there are people buying up farmland. And they don't have your best interest in mind. You're going to see food prices go up. And like, all of this has been designed for total control in the last days. And it's all been designed by people that do not have your best interest in mind. They don't want liberty. They don't want freedom. They want control. They want rule. And they'll take it. But it's happening before your eyes. All you have to do is look at it. Now, you know me, I'm a preacher of the glory realm. Amen. But it also, we have to speak of what's going on in these realms. And I'm going to tell you, God has a solution, and it's multifaceted, but God is going to have to come out from the heavens on this one. Because man is not going alone, is going to, and the church in its present state globally is not going to stop what's happening out there without a mass move of God, but a specialty move of God. Now we have seen a lot of things God's going to do prophetically. We have seen the mysteries. We understand the crown's coming out. We understand Jesus is bringing the house of David back into the earth. We understand that He's going to rule and reign, and He's going to precede that rule by the crowning glory that's coming out, and the church is going to receive an inundation of wealth, power, and dominion like it's never had before. We know there's a great wealth transference coming. It's already been spoken. But all of these things have been embedded in Scripture. And it all revolves around the Babylonian captivity. It revolves around Babylon captivity. And we saw just recently how the 70th year had been fulfilled. it fulfilled twice in our generation. God had very specific promises around the generation that came out of Babylon during Zerubbabel and Zechariah's day. And when they came out after the 70th year, there was a lot of prophecy spoken in Haggai, in Zechariah, Zechariah 4, 6, 10, Haggai chapter 2, none of which of any of those prophecies were fulfilled because they were not for that day. Like this one, once again, I'll shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry lands, and the treasures of all nations shall come into my house. For the silver is mine and the gold is mine, and the glory of this latter-day house will be rival Solomon's house. He spoke of a direct wealth transference and a glory that would come with that, that would rival Solomon's glory. That has never been seen in any generation. We see the prophecy of Zechariah 4, that Christ himself as Zerubbabel would bring out the crowning stone of the church. In fact, it says before the face of Zerubbabel, every mountain would be made level. We see the crowning of a priesthood where Zechariah was crowned as a king in Zerubbabel's place. And they brought him, Joshua was brought in and they forged a crown out of Babylon of all places and made a crown and they brought it in and they crowned Joshua and made him a king. A high priest was crowned as a king, representing a final generation of priests that would be made kings to rule and reign before the end times. And so you see a lot of these revelations. We see one in Zechariah 10, which I'll get into a little bit. But we see a culmination of these things in what's called Mystery Babylon here in Revelation chapter 18. Mystery Babylon is comprised of global elite leaders, kings, and marketplace leaders that serve this system that sits upon many waters. We see this, but I want you to see something in verse 2. He said, and he cried mightily with a strong voice. And now this was the end time where he would actually judge Babylon. Babylon's going to go through Babylon, this system is intact this day. It's what you saw happening in COVID, what you saw in the control mechanism with the forced vaccinations, all of that is a Babylonian controlling system. They're already getting into banking now. I don't know if you know this, but PayPal had to retract. They had set out, it says, if you do not stand again with the woke culture, we'll fine you $2,500 per transaction. They had such an influx of people that were removing themselves that they took that off their website. Hey, we made a mistake. It was a typo error. That's not what we meant. And then you see Kanye come out. Kanye, he's just the man of his own, you know. He goes, I perform for an audience of one, and that's God. But he went and spoke all these things, and the next day, right after that, Chase Bank, he posted it online. They canceled his accounts. They said, take your money somewhere else. And then Candace Owens, she's come out. She's a powerhouse for God. She's already endorsing this new bank called Glorify, and this bank is comprised of all these freedom-loving billionaires that have created a bank called Glorify. And she said, I've canceled all my bank accounts. I've moved all my money to Glorify. But you're seeing a mass control system. That's been recorded here. That system's going to go down and it's going to go back up. But it's going to go down. It wants control now. And if the Lord didn't have a plan, it would get it because it's already conglomeration. Revelations 18:2, Babylon the Great has fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. They're talking about financial fornication with her system. And the merchants of the earth, kings of the earth, merchants of the earth, politicians, they're all conglomerated. There's a huge, I was at a friend's house one time. He's an agency guy. I didn't know it at the time. I didn't know how deep he was and he'd been in. I was in a meeting and I saw this whole government around him. I'm like, I don't know who you are, but I saw all this around you in the spirit. So I go to his house and he has this Scantron sheet. You remember the old Scantrons you put on the deal? And it had the entire world corporations mapped out. All corporations, all banking, all the global map, every single mass corporation was connected globally to one mechanism. I couldn't believe what I was looking at. I said, can I take a picture of that? He says, no, you may not. Whoever created that would have had to have an understanding, because it mapped out every single corporation, every bank, every government was all on one page, all centralized with one seat of control. And that was 10 years ago when I saw that. This system that you see, isn't it amazing when they send out something, everyone's saying the same thing. They do the same thing. It's all about test run of how they want to control. If the Lord didn't intervene, we would be moving into the last day. We're in the last day. We'd be moving into the 7-year thing. But that's not going to happen yet. God has a divine intervention. Amen? And in that divine intervention, God has a say. And God's going to bring out a glory in this hour that's going to judge the systems of this world. It's His crowning glory. He took the crown up. He's bringing it back. And He's going to bring out the crowning glory, and He's going to set it upon the church. But there's also operations in the kingdom of God that are going to get released. Mass scale operations. Now I want to show you this part as well before I start getting into what I saw this morning. Revelations 18 continues to talk about the judgment of this whore that sits upon the waters, Mystery Babylon. The reason I mentioned earlier in these other chapters, those prophecies weren't fulfilled because they were all prophetically spoken for another generation where Babylon would be relevant again. Isn't it amazing? Babylon is relevant again. The church would be relevant. 70 years would be relevant. He said, according to 70 years, remember when they released, there'd be a prophecy, I would fulfill my good words to you. The king of Tyre would be judged in the 70th year. Well, we've heard this recently. We've been speaking about this, but he confirmed it twice in our generation to let us know that that 70 years had a very serious impact for our generation, because that 70 years marked the earmark of when God's people were called out of the Babylonian system to build the house again. So he's prophesying that this house would be built in Zechariah chapter 4. A foundation of this latter-day house would be built, and God would come and build this house. It was the house of David, as a matter of fact. And he talked about how it would release and be built all over again, and God's glory would manifest again. And none of that fulfilled because it's our generation. So we saw with Trump the 70th year, the first 70th year was, and we thought that was the time, and that was 3 or 4 years ago, when he came at the exact 70-year mark to the day, May 14th, I believe, and he declared Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And we thought, this is it, the 70th year has been fulfilled, it was 70 years. And they produced a coin, 70 years fulfilled, and had Trump and Cyrus's depiction on it. We still pray with that coin to this day. And so there are these two coins. It says 70 years fulfilled. And so we saw the 70 years. We saw, oh, this is it. We were running. In fact, that night, because we could prophetically could see it, we had a midnight service. And we had a midnight service celebrating the 70 year, because we knew, because God promised a lot of stuff was going to happen at the end of the 70 year, but nothing happened. And we didn't understand, but God, that was a prophetic marker. But there was another thing that happened, and we just recently happened this last month, the queen, because Isaiah's prophecy, Isaiah 23's prophecy, what did it say? It said, according to the days of one king, after 70 years, according to the days of one king, that the Lord would visit Tyre, king of Tyre. Ezekiel 28 described it loose for himself, the devil, standing over a city called Tyre, calling himself king over the city. Why did he do that? All that revelation was there. And so he said, according to the days of one king, the Lord would visit Tyre again. Well, we understood that a king or a monarchy just passed in our generation, the second fulfillment of the 70 years. Queen Elizabeth, when she passed 70 years, it got fulfilled. Who rules for 70 years anymore? A one crowning monarchy fulfilled an entire 70-year reign. But she had global implication. Because she, if you understand the queen and what she was in charge of, see, you understand commercial wealth. But there's other wealth called sovereign wealth. You should see what they were printing in 1920s. I have pictures of bonds. They're boxes. They're called Versailles Treaty bonds. They were printing in the trillions back in 1923. It's called sovereign wealth. Well, she was signatory, the signatory over all sovereign wealth instruments globally, period. Nothing moved in the earth without her consent. And I got that from some very high ups, and I got it confirmed three times. Now, because that, when she passed, that 70-year window doubly confirmed, opened the day that we're living in. This day we're living in has been opened. The last days have been confirmed. God is about to roll out his plan. Amen? And so when we see this global ruling structure of people that have determined control of all nations, God has a plan over this. It depends on what you're looking at. You can be looking at the negative, you can be looking at the positive, but if you look from the proper place, you'll see God's plan, not man's plan. Because if you're looking at things from this earthly position, you're going to see fear, you're going to see turmoil, you're going to see things that do not pertain to the plan of God. When you look at it from God's plan, you're going to see solution. You're going to see victory, triumph, glory. God has a plan. And when you sit with God, he unveils that plan. And one of the things that he has done is that you have to understand there's a big showdown coming here. What you're looking at is this woman that sits on the waters in Revelations 18 called the Babylonian harlot. I want you to see a particular scripture here comprised of global politicians, global banking, global financiers, global companies, global CEOs. They're connected. Now watch what it says here. Look at verse 7 about this. It says, how much has she glorified herself, speaking of this Babylonian harlot that sits upon the face of the water. It said kings were in her. Merchants were in her. It's a global thing. It said, how much has she glorified herself and lived deliciously? So much torment, so much sorrow give her. What's this? She saith in her heart, I sit as a queen, and I am no widow. If you're not a widow, then what are you? You're married. She says, I sit as a queen. I'm not a widow. I mean, she has a king. Who are we? We're brides of Christ. So we have a king that's promised second coming king, right? Preceded by his crown in glory. Preceded by the crown of God. So we have the bride, the last day bridal company. How many of you heard of the last day bridal company? Raise your hand. Okay, that's pretty common knowledge. The bride of Christ. The spirit and the bride say come. Calling for the king. So we have the king, Jesus, and the bride. The devil, what does he always do? Counterfeit. So he has his bride. You want to know what she looks like? You're seeing the globalization of her insane wokeness. When you see what they do with kids these days, they don't even hide it anymore. I mean, the books that they're exposing and transgenders, they walk them into to kindergarten classroom. And when you see what they're doing in the financial arena and the control mechanisms, soon to be the food thing, that's his bride. That's the queen that sits upon the waters. Guess who her husband is? If you look in Isaiah where Lucifer, son of the morning, I think it's in Isaiah 14. If you meditate that out, it calls him, Lucifer, son of the morning, calls him the king of Babylon. And that's his bride. You have a showdown of the two brides and the two kings. Who do you think is going to win? Well, as I said in the beginning, God always embeds his mysteries in what already happened. Because he declares the end from the beginning. Everything you saw back in the days of Babylon with all those prophecies were going to get fulfilled. They're going to get fulfilled. Again. He's going to do it all over again. So I'm caught up in this thing this morning. And I get completely caught up in the spirit. And I saw something extremely profound. And I believe God, in his genius, is going to release spiritual weaponry and operations that we have never seen. Remember, we're still the age of grace. Now, there is judgment. The crown will outlast us. The crown will be manifested in grace when we're gone. I know that because we're the Church of Philadelphia. The Bible says it's the last day, church. I will keep you from the hour of tribulation coming upon the whole earth. Do you understand what's going to happen in tribulation? You understand there's three heavens, right? You have this earth, that's first heaven. You have a second heaven, that's the devil. That's where he took the Lord, remember in the garden? And he says, if you'll bow down, and he brought him to the exceeding high mountain, showed him all these kingdoms and the glory of these kingdoms, said, if you will worship me, I'll give all this to you. And the Lord said, how dumb can you get and still breathe? I mean, I'm sure he was thinking that. Because all this is mine anyway. And you're offering me something that's mine. But he's going to go get it. He was getting it back. But the devil controls through second heaven principalities and powers. You remember the war with Daniel and Michael had the fight with the prince of the power of Persia. All that second heaven powers, principalities and powers. And then you have the third heaven, the heaven. Well, in the last days, God's going to merge all that. But one of the things that's going to happen in the tribulation, midway through the final 3.5 years, Michael is going to lead a charge with some serious angels. And they are going to empty the entire second heaven. The rule of all principalities, powers, prince of Persia, all the devil's throne, king of Tyre, where he's enthroned in the second heaven, and he's going to throw them all down into the earth. It says, whoa, under the inhabitants of the earth, the devil has come down to you. Anybody want to be here then? That's what it's called, the great tribulation. Because they are going to be, you think they're going to be ticked? They've been, some of those principalities have been sitting there for 6,000 years. They're all getting dethroned, ready for the rule and the reign of Christ in the 1,000 year millennial reign. You think he's going to rule with second heaven powers there? All that's going to be dethroned before his rule. When he returns, he's putting everything down. You have to understand the last days. In the beginning, God left Rome alone. He wasn't about Rome. He was about born again, new creation. He was about multiplying a new creation. In the last days, he's not leaving anything alone. He's going to shake the heavens and the earth. Everything's going to come down and be conformed to the will of the Father. And everything's going to come under his rule and his authority. But in the church age, it's not going to be the destruction of men. It's going to be the destruction of the systems that govern men. In the church age, we're still not about the destruction of men. Our is still a dispensation of love. Everyone say, thank God for that. It's a dispensation, a testimony, but in this dispensation, it's about the systems of this world that are governing. They're going to be cast down. God's going to overthrow them. He's going to overthrow these systems, and he's going to cause a whole lot of confusion in the ranks before he actually will call for the destruction of men. In the 7-year tribulation, the reason we won't be here, my humble opinion, there's a lot of them, but one of them is we're an age of grace. You don't go from grace to judgment. That is 100% judgment. That's wrath time. God has his witnesses, but we're not those. Our time is over. He don't just switch you from grace one day and now, okay, change your message now. Judgment, wrath time. No, you were a different dispensation. God has a witness. It'll go back to the Jews for that final hour. Now, I said all that to say this because I was caught up in the heavens this morning and I saw something and it was profound. I saw what looked like 10,000 times 10,000 of angels that came out from the heavens. And they released something all over the earth. And as I was watching it, I saw them confound the plans of people and leaders, politicians, people in high places that do not have your best interest in mind. I saw confusion come over the camp. I saw it come over into the media. I saw where people could not hardly even speak anymore. Their minds, just think of our present, whoever that guy is, multiplied all over. Their minds couldn't even communicate with their mouth. They would try to say something, but it was like he confounded the Tower of Babel. They couldn't communicate anymore. Their whole system that they set up to protect one another went into shambles immediately. And I was watching it globally. I don't know how I saw this, but I was seeing the confusion. They couldn't communicate where they were completely organized to the T. All of a sudden, there was disorganization. There was confusion everywhere. They couldn't hold sentences. The protectors couldn't protect because they were confused too. The media protectors couldn't protect the ones that were confused. It was like double confusion everywhere. And I saw all this confusion being poured out. And I'm like, what is going on? Because I thought there's just going to be this, you know, as the church age coming to the end, we're going to fight this thing. All of a sudden, they were completely dismantled. You remember the battle where Elisha and his servant were on the mountaintop. And that Syrian king came against them. And his servant woke up one morning and he saw that whole army. It was just him and Elisha. Master, master! And Elisha woke up and said, calm down. He that's with us, far greater than he's with him. Open his eyes, Lord. Let me go back to sleep. And all of a sudden he sees this entire army that fills a mountainside. You think they're going to go crush them. But what that army did with angels, they came in and cast blindness over an entire army. And Elisha walked up and says, where are you going? And he led them right to the king. And the king goes, let's slay them now. Elisha said, don't slay them. Said, they come in peace. They're blind. Send them out. But God dismantled an army. And as I was watching this confusion, the Spirit of the Lord centered and I began to see Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar. Who was he king of? Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar. Do you know what happened with Nebuchadnezzar? He was very friendly in the beginning. And then he got a little too big for his britches. Go to Daniel 4. I want you to see this. Because Nebuchadnezzar represents Mystery Babylon. The kings, the people that are in high places, determining evil. So as I saw this confusion come over, I want you to see what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar's king of Babylon. Remember what everything God was doing back then, he's going to do again. He's already foretelling how he's going to deal with people who think that they're God. And there's a lot of them out there. And they don't have your best interest in mind. It's like the curtain has been pulled back in these last 3 or 4 years. Have you noticed that? There's just stuff that goes on that we sheeple don't understand. There's a lot of things we see out there because of what people say or how it's presented. Well, I'm not a judge of that. I'm just telling you there's a lot of stuff going on. And there's a lot of evil determined against this generation. But God has a plan. And God is going to start unlocking the powers of heaven to deal with the issues in the earth. Amen? Now watch this with Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel 4. So Daniel's prophesying to Nebuchadnezzar here. And verse 24, he's going to give him the interpretation of his dream. Verse 24 of Daniel 4. He goes, this is the decree of the Most High. Verse 25. They shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee eat grass as oxen. They shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, seven times or 7 years shall pass over thee, till thou know the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and he giveth to whomsoever he will. So whoever's in charge, who thinks they're in charge, this is going to be a real good lesson for him right here. Because he's telling Nebuchadnezzar what's about to happen. He's king of Babylon. So just think now, don't think Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon back there. Think queen that sits upon the many waters. In Revelation 18. And all this in her system. That whole global system that's working against for global control. And look at this. Verse 26. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee after thou hast known that the heavens do rule. And then wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable on you. So it came to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar didn't say much after that. Because I don't know if he believed it or not. Because Daniel was his friend at that time. And now, it's going to happen 12 months later. And this right here is what I want to hone in on. In verse 30, it says, the king spake and said, is this not great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Uh-oh. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it's been spoken, the kingdom has departed from you. And confusion came over him. Spirit of confusion came over him. Spirit of insanity came over him. He went out in the fields and ate grass for 7 years. He lost his mind. There was a spirit of confusion ordained of God to teach him who's actually in control. And took the greatest kingdom and the greatest king and brought him down for 7 years in a state of confusion. And when he came back, he repented. After 7 years, said, I know who the God of heaven is now. And God said, I left you a stump. He goes, we'll continue on now. Now I'm saying this because this mystery Babylon that's in operation this day is not going to be dealt with by simple man's operations. It's going to take moves and operations of heaven to stop the machinery that's taking place right now. It's going to take God's hand. Remember, because we're in the time of grace still, God's not about destroying men right now. But he is going to destroy and cast confusion over the systems that are trying to destroy you. And I believe what God's going to do, what I saw this morning, I was like, hallelujah. Because what I deemed this powerhouse thing that was going on up there, and it seemed like there was no stopping it, and they can get away with anything they want now, and they can do anything they want, lock down, lock us up for 9 months, 6 months. I mean, make you take a shot you didn't want to take. All that system. I'm like, what's going to stop them when they're next round? Buying up farmland? The control food price? All of a sudden, I saw the whole system crash. Their leaders were all confused. They started fighting one another. They couldn't commune with one another. I saw news media trying to protect what the person just said because his brain wasn't communicating with his mouth. And they were total confusion, much like the one in office right now. Can't finish sentences. But it was happening across the board. But what I saw so remarkable is the media, when they tried, I saw them getting fired one after another because they couldn't even speak anymore for the other person. Confusion went down all through. And that confusion didn't stop. It was all over their whole, it's like God stopped their system. Just crashed it. And it's just interesting because Nebuchadnezzar It was 7 years that he was in that confusion. And I believe this glorious run in the last days is going to be at least 7 years. It's almost like Joseph. It's going to be 7 good years for the church. Then we're out of here. Then they're going to be 7 very lean years. I think God is dealing in sevens like no other time. 7 spirits of God, 7 eyes, 7 horns, 7 days, 7 day of rest, 7 pillars of wisdom, 7 inheritances. But when I saw that confusion and I saw them, I said, you are painting the picture here, but it gave me a lot of hope. Because suddenly what I saw was this beast out there that was just untamable. Beast, suddenly the whole thing was getting shut down. And then this is what I saw. All of a sudden, nobody had answers for anything. The confusion that was released across the board, there was confusion everywhere, and all of a sudden, God's leaders started rising up. Churches, leaders, politicians, even bankers. We're just even seeing a new banking system coming in right now. We talked about it earlier. Glorify Bank. Bunch of billionaires got together and said, nope, we're not doing it their way. We're going to do it our way. And all of a sudden, these people were rising, and as they would rise, they had light on them. And they're the only ones that could speak in the midst of all the confusion. I believe Isaiah 61, it says, darkness will cover the earth, gross darkness. I believe he's talking about a confusion that will cover the entire earth. But the only ones that will be able to operate in the confusion are the ones in the light. Because they came forward and they were so full of light and so full of glory and so full of wisdom. They were operating and they could immediately have solutions and answers across the board. The politicians had answers. The banking system had answers. Businessmen and churches had answers. They were having answers. All of a sudden, wherever the light was, there was order. In the midst of chaotic disorder, whoever was walking in his end time glory, there was order all around them. And it calls, I saw it. I saw multitudes shifting allegiance from darkness to light because they were drawn to the order and they were drawn to the peace and they were drawn to the solution. And it caused a mass harvest like never before. It was so easy to get people born again. They were running into the churches because the churches wasn't just trying to figure out how to get people in there. They were operating in a light, in a glory, in a revelation. All this was like, I was praying it as I was seeing it. Just swirling around. And I'm like, oh. But one of the big things I saw was God's solution. And I saw that what I deemed was a powerhouse was not quite the powerhouse that I was deeming. All that control, because I was like, how are you going to unseat that stuff? All of a sudden, they lost it like that. Because they were all thinking they're God. There's a lot of people trying to run this world that think they're God. And they're not. And they're going to find out they're not. Then it's going to be given back to them. When we're done, the kings and priests rule in the reign. I want to show you one other thing and we'll close. Go to Zechariah 10. Because this is not quite the stronghold that I thought it was. What did he say? Before the face of Zerubbabel, every mountain would be made low. From the face of our king, he's going to level the mountain. He's going to do it. There's glory coming out. There's power coming out. There are operations. Everything we've seen in the Bible, the way God has dealt, he's going to have a whole generation dealing like this. We're going to be able to bring order where there's chaos. I can't wait to see it. The Lord spoke to me. Like he said, as soon as you see the mass confusion, know all things are beginning. God himself is intervening into the earth now. See, we want him to come and strike them down with lightning, but we're not in that dispensation yet. You won't even be here to see it when he pours his wrath out. Right now, he's stopping them because they're in the stage of grace. God knows how to deal in any dispensation. You understand that. When a dispensation of grace, he's not about just destroying people. But what he will do is intervene and show them just how useless they are. The wisdom of God will be respected again. The intelligence of the Most High God is going to come to such a level that bring order out of chaos that it'll be respected. It's going to take supernatural things in this hour. You're not going to be able to find it just tiptoeing through church anymore. You're going to have to get into the depths of God to understand how to deal in this generation. This generation has got to be dealt with the glory of God. It has to be dealt with the operations coming out of heaven. It can't be dealt with sandbox Christianity. You understand that? That's not going to fix this world. Zechariah 10. This chapter is a prophetic chapter concerning the run of the white horse, spoken of in Revelations chapter 6. That horse is good. We want that. That's the one we will ride. Verse 1. Ask you the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain. Everyone grass in the field. Who's he talking to? Latter rain. Joel said the early and the latter rain would what? Be together. We're latter rain. For the idols have spoken vanity and the diviners have seen a lie and have told ye false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore went the way as their flock. Verse 3, mine anger is kindled against the shepherds, and I'm going to punish the goats. For the Lord of hosts has visited the flock of what house? That's the house of the lion. That's David's house. And have made them his goodly horse in the battle. He's going to restore the house of David. He's going to bring the crown out from heaven. He took it to heaven. You do understand, he sits upon David's throne right now. He took that throne up into the heavens. He's going to bring that throne back. Psalms 2 said he sat upon the throne of David in his resurrection. He's bringing the throne back. What do you think he's going to rule with? He's going to open the house of David again. He made them as his goodly horse in the battle. This is speaking directly. I have a whole series, Golden Lampstand, Run of the White Horse. You want to know about this? We get into great detail. He said he made them his goodly horse in the battle. Now he's going to tell you the operations of this horse and what it's going to do in the end times. It's a movement. When you see horse in the kingdom, I mean, God's not going to, you're not going to see a horse running around. It's a movement. Out of this movement came forth the corner or the cornerstone. Psalms 118 said it like this. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. He said, this is the Lord's doing and it's marvelous in our eyes. It's the day the Lord maketh. And he says, out of him, he said, sin now, prosperity. He's talking about the final cornerstone of the building coming into the church. The final stone being laid. He's going to establish, this movement will establish the final stone, the crowning stone, the final building of the temple, the completion. Out of this operation, out of this came the nail. All these are huge. You know what that means, the nail? That's Isaiah 22. That's the nail. When he fired Shebna, God's going to fire some Shebnas. You know, Shebna, he was the treasury. He was over the office of treasury of all Judea and Jerusalem. And God said, you're done. You're out. Eliakim, come in, and the key to the house of David I will give to you. Prophetically speaking, Christ would inherit that key, and he would open and none could shut. He would shut and none could open. And he says, and the whole glory of the Father will be hung upon the nail. All the glory of the Father will be hung upon this nail. This is the nail. This final movement's going to establish the nail where all the glory of God's coming down to rest upon the church. And he that has the key to the house, he'll open that house again. The treasury key. Out of him, the battle bow. What was the rider in Revelation chapter 6 on the white horse? What did he have? A battle bow was in his hand. Out of him, he will establish. He was prophetically connecting those two horses. Or the two movements. Finally, out of this movement, out of him every oppressor together. What he's saying is every oppressor is going to be put down during this rule and reign of the crown. Where the kings and priests will rule in the earth. A crown will be given to the rider of the white horse, and he will go forth conquering, victorious. The oppressors are going to be put down in this hour by heaven. Heaven will intervene. God is releasing a numeral host of angels. We are not alone in this. And when I saw what seemed to be such a great mountain, how easily they were cast into confusion, I felt like Elijah's servant Gehazi, like, oh, like open his eyes. Because we don't see, we're always looking at the armies in front of us and how big it is. Until we get another perspective from heaven and we see the other army on our side. Then Gehazi goes, woohoo! And that army dismantled an entire army without a single drop of blood. And these angels coming out from the heavens, dismantling the Nebuchadnezzars, are going to get humbled in this last hour. The Shebnas are going to get fired. God has a huge say in the last days. And we are sitting right in the middle of it because 70 years have been fulfilled. I'm telling you, we're in time zone now. Roll it out. If you're being taught the wrong thing, you said head for the hills. Not until the church and her glory comes into the run of the white horse, or the kings and priests run, and all those things we just discussed starts happening in the earth. God has a say. Woo! Let's see one more time. Come on, let's give him glory. Let's look at verse 5. And they shall be as mighty men, which shall tread down the enemies in the miry streets of battle. And they shall fight because the Lord is with them. And the riders on the horses shall be confused. Confounded, withered, and dried up. Their whole system's going to dry up. And they're going to get suspended in lead for a whole season. I saw that was the time where the glory started rising on the church. And the glory was seen. And the manifested glory started being seen in the midst of all the darkness. While all that confusion and darkness, there was such light and such glory, it was starting to manifest in people. Literal, tangible glory was seen upon the tabernacles of man as they were ministering the glory and the power of God. And people were drawn like magnets to it. It was such a drawing because people started like, why am I listening to you? You can't even fulfill a sentence. They started leaving and running to the light. And I saw what deemed to be this huge battle was not. It turned into this entire season of glorious light to where it was the greatest time ever to know the Lord and be alive on planet Earth. Praise God. Okay, so I'm going to have Carlos share this and then we'll close. This is out of Zechariah.
So it's Zechariah 5. By the way, Zechariah chapter 4 is God shows Zechariah a golden lampstand, which is light. And what does light do? Light illuminates, it exposes. And God knew that there would be a time on the earth when he would do this. And that's why the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel was not by might nor by power, but by his spirit. So it would be something God would do on the earth by his spirit. Not by man's power. We can't do this. It's God's going to do it. He's going to do it through his people. And it says in Zechariah chapter 5, verse 1, then I lifted up my eyes again and I looked and behold, there was a flying scroll. And the Lord said to me, said to Zechariah, what do you see? And Zechariah answered, I see a flying scroll and its length is 20 cubits and its width is 10 cubits. And it's 30 by 15 if you go do the calculations. And then he said to Zechariah, verse 3, Zechariah chapter 5, verse 3, this is the curse that's going over the whole face of the whole land or the whole earth. Surely everyone who steals will be purged or cut off. cut away, according to the writing of one side of the scroll. And everyone who swears will be purged, or everyone who lies will be purged or cut away, according to the other side of the writing on the scroll. Verse 4, and I will make it go forth, declares the Lord of hosts, and it will enter the house of the thief and the house of him that swears falsely. And now he adds, falsely by my name. So people that are misrepresenting him. Thieves, liars.
Hold that thought. Now, remember Zechariah 4, he's talking about a kingly house. The last day house. He said he laid the foundations this last day. He's talking about the house of David. So he's talking about not just your house. When he says this house, he's talking about houses, like governmental operations, that kind of thing. Okay?
So once again, verse 4, it says, I will make forth this curse about thieves and liars. He says, I'm going to make it go forth, declares the Lord of hosts, and it will enter the house of the thief and the liar, and him that swears falsely by my name. And it will spend a night within that house and consume it with its timbers and stones. Verse 5, then the angel who was speaking with me went out and said to me, lift up your eyes and see what's going forth. And I said, what is it? Verse 6, and he said to me, this is an ephah, or a measuring basket, that goes forth. And again he said, this is their appearance in all the land. So now God makes an image of this ephah, or this measuring basket, and he says, this is their appearance. What I just spoke about, these thieves and liars, it says, this is their appearance in all the land. Verse 7, and behold, a lead cover was lifted up, and there was a woman sitting inside the ephah, or the measuring basket. And he said, this is wickedness. So now this measuring basket, this is a resemblance, and it says there, it was an image of a woman, and it says, this is wickedness. And he threw her down in the middle of the ephah and cast a lead weight on its opening. Verse 9. Then he lifted up my eyes and I looked, and there were two women coming out with wind in their wings, and they had the wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the ephah, that measuring basket, with wickedness between earth and heaven and the heavens. And we know that wickedness will not be in the third heaven where God dwells, so it's the second heavens. In verse 10, he said, the angel said, that was speaking with me said, where are they taking the ephah? Verse 11, then he said to me, to build a temple for her in the land of Shinar, or Babylon, and when it is prepared, she will be set there in her pedestal. So everything is heading into the one world government, where the enemy, where the Antichrist will be. Everything is staging for the Antichrist, but God has an intervention where he's taken all these thieves and liars, this whole operation of lying and stealing, and he says in the form of wickedness, it gets shut down with a lead cover in this measuring basket, and it's suspended between the heavens and the earth. In other words, God is holding back this wickedness for a season, and then it says, but it's not like God stopped it. It says that the wickedness is still preparing a place for it in this operation of wickedness, which is Babylon or Shinar. And it says, in its time, they'll set it there in its pedestal. In other words, when the church, after God accomplishes his will on the earth, then when we're taken out, then they have their way. That's where it gets placed back in its pedestal.
That woman of wickedness, that's the Babylonian harlot. She gets suspended in lead for an entire season. God's going to suspend the entire operation for an entire season while his church rules and reigns in the earth. And then she'll be reestablished in the land of Shinar. That's 7-year tribulation. But this is good news to understand that God's got a plan to see things from a heavenly perspective, not earthly news. You cannot look at world events through earthly news right now. You have to see what God's doing in the earth and what he's about. And you can't just excuse like nothing's happening. Oh, this is foo-foo. No, it's happening. You can see it on the events of the world. But God is intervening now. And God's going to intervene. And this whole Babylonian system, she's going to get suspended and led while we rule and reign. We're not going to be fighting against her. God's going to cast some confusion, put her in led for a whole season. And we get to rule and we get to reign with Christ. And all this right now, we're in prophetic touchdown season for the beginning of all of it.